Like it or not, the senior and elderly population is vulnerable to negligence committed by medical professionals, nursing home and assisted living facilities, pharmaceutical and medical device companies, insurance companies, and everyday individuals and businesses. The Injured Senior Podcast is here to help. Steve Heisler is the creator of the National Injured Senior Law Center and has been advocating for seniors' rights for over 20 years. You have questions, and Steve Heisler has answers. This is the Injured Senior Podcast.
Hello, Injured Senior community. This is attorney Stephen Heisler, founder and CEO of the National Injured Senior Law Center, coming to you from sunny and very hot Baltimore, Maryland. Now, I'm a warm weather guy. I'll take 100 degrees and sunshine over 20 degrees and gloom and ice anytime. My apologies to my friends in Minnesota and the like. If I ever leave Baltimore, I can tell you that I am heading south, most likely to the Sunshine State. So I'm in a good place right now with the weather in Baltimore this summer. But never mind about me. You are listening to the Injured Senior Podcast, the only podcast in the world that addresses medical and legal topics of importance to the injured senior and elderly population and to the children and loved ones of injured seniors and the elderly as well. I am your humble host. Now, I started this podcast not only to help injured seniors, but also to help injured seniors prevent becoming an injured senior. So we definitely have some things that are a top priority here, which is to educate and inform. Now, today we're going to talk about Medicare. Now, why Medicare? Well, a good portion of our senior community are eligible for Medicare. And Medicare is important to the injured senior community because for a lot of seniors, it pays healthcare costs for injuries, conditions, or diseases they have sustained or contracted. Yet, Medicare is confusing. Like, what exactly does it cover? Does it only cover catastrophic conditions such as heart attacks, cancer, or horrific accidents? When does it take effect? Can you get Medicare if you're still working? And what if you have other insurance? Does that mean you don't need Medicare? I can tell you, folks, that I do not know these answers. I'll be 59 in about a month and a half. And, you know, 65 is maybe a couple years away, but, you know, it's right around the corner. So these are things that we want to get answers to. And the person that can give us those answers is on the show today. And her name is Danielle Roberts. And Danielle's here today to talk about all things Medicare and to clear up some misconceptions about Medicare and also fill you in about the upcoming Medicare annual election period. So we're really happy to have her to clarify some things for us today and give us much needed information about Medicare. So Danielle Roberts is a founding partner at Boomer Benefits, which is a national agency specializing in Medicare-related insurance products since 2005, and she's been serving thousands of Medigap policyholders in 48 states. Boomer Benefits helps baby boomers learn the ropes regarding Medicare. A nationally recognized expert in the Medicare sector of the health insurance industry, Danielle is a past president of the Fort Worth chapter of the National Association of Health Underwriters and a Forbes Financial Council member. She's been featured and/or quoted by major news outlets around the country, such as Fox, Yahoo Finance, and Business Insider. Welcome to the Injured Senior Podcast, Danielle. How are you doing today?
I'm terrific. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Stephen.
Oh, it's not a problem. I know you're in Dallas, and we got you up early in the morning, so we're very grateful for your indulging us and getting to us at this time. By the way, and we talked about this offline. You're living in Dallas, so but you're from Michigan, so you're not really a Dallas Cowboy fan, or are you converted Dallas Cowboy fan, or what?
You know, I remember as a kid, my stepdad always watched back when Jimmy Johnson was the coach, and sure, he'd yell and holler and jump around the living room. And so I think growing up in that environment, you sort of have to be a Cowboy fan.
Right.
I'm not super into football, but we do have America's team here, and we sure do love them.
Yeah, and I think the Cowboys, they're actually, if they sign Dak Prescott, and by the time this gets published, he might have already been signed, but I think if they get Dak Prescott signed for several years, they could be they could be a Super Bowl contending team. So
yeah, we hope so.
Yeah, let's now I'm a Ravens fan. I'm from Baltimore, so we're going to do everything we can if we meet you in the Super Bowl to make you not a Super Bowl winner. So, but
okay, well, we'll take on that challenge.
Yeah, with the pandemic now, I don't even know if there's going to be a football season. So, I hope there is, and I hope if they do, they're going to be safe. So, let's get right into it. Why do people feel so overwhelmed about Medicare when they're approaching age 65?
I think it's because your whole working life, you've had someone choose your health insurance for you. You work for a company, that company has an HR department. The HR department reviews a bunch of group health insurance plans, and they come and say, here, you know, you can sign up for this plan. Here's what it's going to cost you out of your paycheck. And that's what happens. Maybe you work for a company that gives you a choice between a PPO and an HMO. They have two plans to choose from. But you never have to do any of the heavy lifting and learn what deductibles and co-insurance are. You know, you just sign up and you go with whatever insurance that's given to you.
Right.
Well, when you turn 65 and when you're retiring and you're leaving that group health insurance, whenever, if it's at 65 or later, either way, you've got to learn this national health insurance program, which is a beast with four parts, 10 supplements, and literally thousands of Medicare Advantage or Part D drug plan options. And people have no experience in doing that. And to make it worse, the insurance carriers that sell supplemental products just pound them with mail and telemarketing phone calls the whole year that they're 64. So they get overwhelmed and they feel anxiety and they've got a desk full of solicitations and they're afraid to throw anything out because they don't know what they're supposed to keep or what's just an ad. And so all of those things kind of come together to make Medicare sort of a dreaded process, when in actuality, the insurance you can get is really good. The incoming experience of a new Medicare beneficiary is just, and involves a lot of anxiety and overwhelm.
Well, shouldn't they have thought about this and said, you know, this is going to be a little more complicated than the insurance that we get through work? Why haven't they made it easier to comprehend, or, you know, done some type of course or whatever to help people, you know, get introduced and acclimated with Medicare?
Yeah, you're speaking my language. We have a private Facebook group where we allow people to join and ask their Medicare questions. And I have heard that same question probably hundreds of times. Like, people will say, why didn't anyone prepare us? And I often like to say, there should be a class when you're 50 that you have to take. It could be online and they could do it in an hour, but preparing you for things that people generally don't know about Medicare, namely that it's not free, that you're going to pay for it, and also that it doesn't cover 100% of the cost of your healthcare, so that you have time to get ready for that. Because we have met over the years many, many people turning 65, getting ready to retire, and then who were just blown away to find out that there's a cost to this healthcare that they're going to pay their whole life, that it's going to be deducted from the cost, their Social Security check, and they're not ready. And so we've seen a lot of people decide to work a few more years because they were so caught off guard. So the government really does need to do a much better job. They send out a handbook. It used to be mailed to you. Now, not even everyone gets the book in the mail. And there's some legislation too that's in Congress right now to take place to try to do a better job of preparing people for when they should enroll, so they don't end up with penalties that they incur just because they didn't know when and where and how they should have signed up for Medicare.
Yeah. And it's like the individuals who are about to go on the Medicare experience, I think because they're so confused or just so not in the know about what actually it involves and what's what it's going to entail. Usually when there's things that people don't really know anything about and they're kind of a little nervous about, they tend to avoid it. So do you see that happening?
Yes. People will procrastinate it until the very last minute, or they just won't make any decision at all. And they sometimes end up in trouble for that. One example that we're dealing with a lot now is that people who don't have employer insurance, who have been insured the last few years through the private healthcare exchange, they have had a subsidy, which helps to make that insurance very inexpensive for them. So they might be paying $50 or $100 a month for a health insurance plan because the government picks up part of the cost of the premium under the Affordable Care Act. And so they're like, well, I love the insurance coverage I have. I'm just not going to sign up for Medicare. Well, what they find out later is that it was never intended that the ACA plans replace Medicare. They're supposed to leave them and enroll in Medicare at 65. So not only will they pay a late enrollment penalty for signing up for Medicare because of that, but furthermore, once the government catches up with them, they'll make them pay back all the subsidy dollars that they've been given since age 65. And you can just imagine there's literally thousands of people in that bucket who don't know any better. So it's so important that people start doing their research early. Early 60s is a good time, but certainly no later than age 64. You need to dive in and learn the parts of Medicare and learn the enrollment periods and familiarize yourself with all that so that you don't accidentally make a huge blunder that is going to affect your coverage and what you pay for it for the rest of your life.
Okay. So, and you said earlier, you said that one of the misconceptions is that it's not free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm as guilty as everyone else. I thought that, you know, Medicare was free health insurance that I get when I get old. So can you fill in our listeners exactly in reality what that entails when you start being eligible for Medicare as far as price?
Sure. So part of the reason people think Medicare is free is that during your working years, you pay FICA taxes and you see on your paycheck stub the amount that's pulled out of your paycheck to go toward Medicare and to go toward Social Security. So people think that they're prepaying and that Medicare will cost them nothing when they get there. And on one part, that's true. Part A, which is your inpatient hospital coverage under Medicare, that is funded by the FICA taxes that you pay throughout your working lifetime. Or if you are married to someone, you have to work at least 10 years here in the US or be married to someone who did to get Part A for free. And most people do work. So about 99% of all Medicare beneficiaries enrolling in Part A will pay nothing for it. You can purchase it if you, a lot of times immigrants who are recently to the America, maybe don't have that work history, you can purchase it. But for most people, Part A costs nothing.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, Danielle, but what exactly is Part A again?
So Part A is your inpatient hospital coverage. So if you're admitted into a hospital, Part A is the fund that pays for inpatient hospital, skilled nursing, hospice, blood transfusions, things like that would occur in a hospital setting.
Okay. So that doesn't cover all the other stuff. It only covers if you get sick and you have to go into a hospital or you have to get skilled nursing.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because sometimes people who maybe can't afford or didn't know they have to pay, they might think, well, you know, I'm not a sickly person, so I'll just sign up for Part A because that's at least going to take care of the hospital needs. And, you know, I just don't use a lot of medical benefits, so I won't sign up for the Part B, which is the outpatient coverage. And that's a big mistake if Medicare is going to be your primary coverage, if you don't have other coverage such as through the VA or through retiree coverage through an employer. Because although Part B does pay for outpatient things like you and I would think of as outpatient, like doctor visits and lab work, it also covers things which may happen in the hospital because physicians perform services in a hospital and physicians fall under Part B. So if you were to have an outpatient surgery or chemotherapy or radiation in a hospital, Part B is actually the part that covers those services. And Part B is not free. Currently in 2020, the base premium, the standard base premium for Part B that most people pay is $144.60 per month. That typically goes up a little bit every year. And people in higher income brackets, about 5% of Medicare beneficiaries pay substantially more than that because they're in a higher income bracket. So knowing this, if you are researching your costs ahead of time, you will be able to check out charts. There's a chart on the Medicare website. We have one on the Boomer Benefits website that goes over the costs. You can look to see what is your income, what has it been over the last couple of years, what are you going to pay for Part B. But just that one piece right there, even if you're paying the minimum, $144 coming out of a Social Security check that for the average American is $1,400 or less, that's 10% right there of your Social Security income that you're going to spend on just the basics of Medicare before you even get into the cost that you're going to pay for supplemental insurance to cover the things that Medicare doesn't.
Right, right. So they're taken out for Part B. Now, what about the senior or the aging person who says, well, I don't want to pay $144 for Part B, and I have got either a pension, which includes health benefits, or I'm still working and I've got health benefits. So do they need to get Part B?
They don't. So if you work for an employer past age 65 and that employer has more than 20 employees, then you can keep your employer coverage and it's going to pay primary and Medicare will pay secondary. So in that scenario, we usually advise that people who are working past age 65 for a large employer enroll in only Part A, because Part A, for one, doesn't cost anything, as we discussed, and it could reduce what you spend if you happen to have an inpatient hospital stay. Part A will coordinate with that employer coverage and could reduce some of what you would ordinarily have to pay. And then you can delay enrollment into Parts B and D because your employer coverage already likely includes outpatient benefits and drug benefits. So the good part about that is you can delay B and D, and those two parts have premiums associated with them. And that way, you're not paying those until the time that you actually get ready to retire. Right. There's one caveat to that. If you're working for an employer and you have a high deductible health plan and you're contributing to a health savings account, then you would not want to enroll in Part A either, because you can't contribute to a health savings account when you have any other form of insurance besides the high deductible health plan. But most people are not in that type of coverage. So the majority of them will sign up for just Part A when they're 65. And then later when they retire, the government will give them a special enrollment period to pick up Parts B and D.
Okay. And these are specifics that you're going to give information at the end of this podcast, and you're going to tell people about online courses that you have that Sure. They can go to, and they can kind of learn the details, because it sounds like the devil's in the details. And if our listeners are like me, they're not very detail oriented. Unfortunately for me, my wife is. So that's how I'm able to, that's how I'm able to function. But all right. So you explain what Part A and Part B was. What is Part C?
So Part C is the Medicare Advantage program. And to understand how that works, I'll first state that when you have your Medicare benefits in place, they work similar to other insurance that you've had in the past. When you have employer group health insurance, when you go to the doctor, you have a copay. If you go in the hospital, you pay a deductible. Well, Medicare has those same things. You have a deductible when you go in the hospital. There's an outpatient deductible. And then Medicare covers only about 80% of your outpatient expenses. So you need some sort of supplemental coverage that's going to cover that other 20% and also pay those deductibles for you. So you could choose to enroll in a traditional Medicare supplement that goes alongside your original Medicare that picks up those things for you, or you could opt for the Medicare Advantage program instead. And that is just a way where you can get your original Medicare Part A and B benefits through a private insurance company that operates a local network in your area. So one of the biggest decisions that people face when they're enrolling in Medicare for the first time is, which route do they want to go of those two classic routes? They can either stick with original Medicare and buy a supplement, or they can enroll in an Advantage plan and use, which is usually cheaper than a supplement, and use a network of local doctors. So Part C is optional. Not everyone will enroll in that. When you sign up for Medicare, the only two parts that you sign up for at the Social Security office are Parts A and B. And then Parts C and D are optional, Part C being Medicare Advantage, Part D being the drug program. And you can enroll in those if you want to during certain valid election periods.
So if someone wants to do Part C and Part D, you're saying they can either get that through Medicare or they could get it through a private company such as Boomer Benefits. My question is, what's the difference? I mean, so I think the first thing you said is that it's cheaper to go with a private company and not through Medicare. Are there any other differences at all, or what's up with that?
Yeah. And so the Medicare Advantage program is not something Boomer Benefits offers. You would enroll in that through a private insurance company, and all the same companies that you're used to that operate in the under 65 world, they offer Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage plans. So in your local area, you might be signing up with United Healthcare or Blue Cross or Aetna or Cigna, Anthem. There's dozens of carriers that offer these plans. And the main differences are, with original Medicare and a Medicare supplement, Medicare is the primary payer. And if you have a Medicare approved claim, which Medicare approves most medically necessary care, Medicare pays its share and then sends the rest to your supplement company, and the supplement company picks up their share, leaving you little out of pocket. And the advantage to sticking with original Medicare and going that route is Medicare doesn't have a network. There are over 1 million providers that participate in Medicare across the United States. So you can see any doctor you want anytime. You don't have to pick a primary care doctor. You never have to get a referral. If you're traveling to visit family in Baltimore from Texas, then you would see a doctor in either of those states and cities. If you are an RV lifestyle person, you can go to the doctor in Colorado before you head up to Wyoming to see the Tetons. Like, you have coverage all over the U.S. And so it's really great coverage for people who travel, but it's also good coverage for people who want the peace of mind of knowing exactly how their supplement's going to pay and knowing that after both of those parties pay, they're going to have very little out of pocket. Yeah. But that's why supplements cost more, because you have that freedom of access,
right,
which is something different than what you would get from a Medicare Advantage plan with a more local network.
Yeah, my friend and I, we traveled to Green Bay to see the Ravens play the Packers. And by the way, if you've not been to Lambeau Field, that is what definitely should be on your bucket list, because that was incredible.
Awesome.
But it was like 18 below zero, and I think I got frostbite. So you're saying that if I had to go to the hospital in Green Bay to thaw out or to lose one of my limbs, that if and I was over 65, that I could have used any doctor in Green Bay under my Part C.
Under your original Medicare. So original Medicare, right, with the Medicare supplement is the one that you could see any doctor. Part C is the one that has a local network. So in that scenario, had you been enrolled in a Medicare Advantage Part C plan, you would have emergency coverage in Baltimore or Green Bay or wherever you're at. But what you wouldn't have is, you were really cold at the ball game and you ended up getting sick and you came down with the flu. And you know, right, now you've got body aches all over and you're still going to be in Green Bay for a few more days. You can't just, right, go to a doctor and get some, you know, flu medicine to help with your aches and pains. You would end up paying out of pocket for that, because that wouldn't be an emergency. Some Advantage plans do have a PPO network. And in that scenario, you could see a doctor up there in Green Bay, but you would pay more because you would be out of network. So the Advantage plans are really best for people who expect to get most of their treatment local and at home, but they do have a certain out of network and emergency coverage benefits.
All right. And are you saying that it's probably best, if you're going to get the Advantage plan, to just go through Medicare and get it, as opposed to going to a private, you know, like United Health or whatever?
You're going to choose. So you're either going to keep your benefits with original Medicare and buy, for example, a United Healthcare supplement or Blue Cross supplement. And in that scenario, you're going to find that supplement's going to cover most of your out-of-pocket, depending on which plan you choose, and you'll have very little that you pay. But the supplement plans cost more. So for example, if you were a female turning 65 here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you might pay $100 a month for a Plan G Medicare supplement. And that supplement is going to pick up that whole 20% that you would have otherwise paid under Medicare. It's going to pay your hospital deductible. You have a small outpatient deductible, and then everything is covered. You won't pay anything at the doctor. You won't pay for a knee surgery. It's really full coverage. Now, if you went the other route and you enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan through any of those carriers that we mentioned, United Healthcare, Blue Cross, Aetna, Cigna, and a bunch of other carriers offer them too. Humana is a big one. In that plan, you would want to check first with your doctors, make sure that they're in that plan's network so that you can continue treating with them. And on that plan, though you may pay a lot less for the plan itself. You might pay $20 or $40, or some plans with Medicare Advantage even have a zero premium, because Medicare pays the Advantage company to take on your risk, to take on your health risk and you be a member. And you might then pay $20 to see your primary care doctor, $50 to see a specialist, $200 a night in the hospital. It's going to operate a much more like group insurance that you've had in the past, where you need to check and see your doctors are in the network, and then you pay the copay according to the plan. So you can see it's quite a dilemma for people that are new to figure out what the difference really is.
Right.
And then also to decide, well, which one is going to be right for me? And a lot of people out of the gate will just sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan because they're cheaper and they don't even know that they needed to check if their doctor was in the network. Now they're enrolled in a plan and they're locked in for the rest of the year, and they find out something about the plan that they don't like. So it's so important to do that research early, do a lot of reading about it, educate yourself so that you understand the differences. And then where an agency like Boomer Benefits would come in is showing you all the options available in your county, quoting the different prices, and then we do a lot of explaining to the consumer about this is what your original Medicare benefits pay, this is what it covers, here's the two routes you could go, and here's how each of those routes work. Which one seems like a better fit for your needs, your lifestyle, and your budget? If you live in an RV and you're traveling all over the US, I'm going to tell you a Medigap plan alongside your original Medicare is going to be a much better fit for you, so that if you do get sick at the game, you can go and see a doctor and you won't have to worry about having any out-of-network costs. But if you have very little money and paying $100 a month for a supplement would be a huge strain on your budget, which can be the case for someone just living on Social Security, and we can find a local plan in your area and you don't do a lot of travel and your doctor is in the network, then maybe an Advantage plan might be a better fit for that person.
Right. And to help me when I get to, you know, 65, to help me navigate the process, I've just appointed you, Danielle, as my individual consultant at Boomer Benefits. So
yes.
Yeah, put me on the calendar for, I guess, 2027 or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll be in touch.
We'll be here when you need us.
Yeah, that's good to know. So people approaching age 65, and you've really given us a wealth of information so far, but what are some of the most important things, other than what you've already talked about, that they need to know about Medicare?
Another thing that's really important to know is that Medicare has election periods, and you need to know how they operate and when to use them. So for example, when you're approaching age 65, if you are already enrolled in Social Security benefits, Social Security will assume that you're taking a retirement check because you don't have a job anymore, and they will automatically enroll you in Medicare, and your card will just show up in your mailbox with Part A and B active on the first of the month in which you turn 65. But if you are not taking Social Security benefits when you turn 65, let's say you're delaying that your enrollment into Social Security because you want a bigger check. You can wait until 70 if you want to enroll in Social Security. Then they don't know whether you need the benefits or not. So you have to initiate your own Medicare enrollment at 65. And there's a 7-month window that you can do that. And it starts 3 months before your 65th birthday. It goes through the birthday month, and then it lasts for 3 months after. So it's a 7-month window, and you need to sign up for Medicare within that window if you don't have any other health coverage, because if you miss it, not only will you incur a 10% late penalty for every 12 months that you failed to enroll, and you'll pay that penalty for the rest of your life, and it's cumulative, but you also, once you figure it out, you have to wait until the next general enrollment period, which comes around in January, to sign up for benefits, and then those benefits don't begin until July. So depending on when this happened to you, you could go a year or more with no health coverage just because you didn't know when you were supposed to sign up. So that's election periods that people need to familiarize themselves with. There's also an annual election period that happens every year in the fall. And a lot of Medicare beneficiaries are panicked by it because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They hear all these TV commercials and their mailbox fills up again. And they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm already enrolled. Do I need to enroll again? What should I be doing during this period? And those are all things where a little bit of research ahead of time, you can familiarize yourself with what those periods are and what things you're supposed to be doing each year during those periods so that you don't make a mistake simply from just not knowing any better.
Again, you know, it's just, this is something that, yeah, I've seen the ads on TV, but the ads are kind of confusing. They just say, you know, you have the upcoming election period, but again, there's nothing that which gives step-by-step instructions as to what you have to do to make sure that you don't become ineligible and walk around for a year without any health insurance. So, yeah. You know, anybody who's listening today, our injured senior community, they're getting a real treat because this is must-know information. So can you tell us a little bit about what your recommendation is as far as how to prepare or that step-by-step process up to the date of that you go ahead and file during that election period?
Yes. So just know this, when you turn 64 and your mailbox starts to fill up with solicitations, the only things that you need to keep are anything that comes from the Centers for Medicare and Medicare Services or from Social Security. Every other slick postcard, flyer, mailer, catalog that you get is an insurance company that's trying to get their brand name in front of you because they want to sell you a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan or a Part D drug plan. You can throw all of that solicitation out because it kind of muddies the waters. I always tell people when you turn 64 or at the latest, when you're 64 and a half, you're a few months out from when you can register for Medicare, you should start doing your own personal education process. Understanding Medicare starts with the parts. So you want to familiarize yourself with what Part A, B, C, and D are, what the enrollment periods are. And then once you've figured out and you've kind of mastered that, then you can start looking into, you know, what Medicare supplement or Advantage plan options exist in your area. And there's a number of good ways to do that. So certainly Medicare's own website, medicare.gov, has a lot of great information. You can download the Medicare and You handbook there. And they also have a PDF that's called Choosing a Medigap Plan that gives you a lot of really good, solid information about what all of those things are. One thing we hear from a lot of consumers, though, is it's very government language and doesn't always go into, you know, details in words that are easy to understand. So another great resource for learning Medicare is YouTube. So we have a YouTube channel at Boomer Benefits where we have lots of videos that teach all these different things. But there are also many other great videos that are put out by insurance companies and other brokers. So YouTube, if you sit down on a Saturday and you're like, today I'm going to start learning Medicare, spending a few hours on YouTube watching videos to educate yourself about what that is another great way to do it. And once you have the basics down and you're 3 months out from your 65th birthday, and that's the time that you want to sign up for Medicare, you're going to do that at the Social Security website. You can go right to their online website. It's ssa.gov, and you can enroll in your Medicare benefits from there. You don't have to go down to the local office anymore unless you really like waiting in line. In fact, a lot of the Social Security offices right now are closed due to COVID, so the online enrollment is a much better and faster way to get enrolled. And then while you're waiting for your card to come in, you can continue to familiarize yourself with how Medicare works. And then that's around the time when you want to begin learning about the differences between Medigap plans and Advantage plans so that you can start to figure out which way you're leaning, which one seems like it's a better fit for you. And of course, you can contact a Medicare broker and someone like us could help walk you through that and guide you personally through those options in your area. I feel like a lot of what we do is just educating people first about what they're original Medicare benefits are. So if I could recommend anything, that's where you really need to start. First, familiarize yourself with what Medicare covers, what it doesn't cover, doesn't cover dental, vision, hearing, long-term care. Learn what those things are so that you know what else you might be spending to pay for things that you might have had through an employer before. And also familiarize yourself with what it covers and what it doesn't cover. So that's the best place that you can start, is just familiarizing yourself with Medicare itself. And then don't worry about selecting supplemental insurance until you've put the application in for Medicare and now you're getting closer to the go date.
That is really, really good information. And it you laid it right out. So if you just follow that template, you're going to be okay. Other than missing the election period, which I think would be a huge mistake, are there any other common mistakes that people make when it comes to Medicare?
Yeah. So when you leave your employer group insurance, if you're over 65 and you have worked, let's say you're 68 now and you're getting ready to retire, about 2 weeks after you retire, in the mail, you're going to receive a letter of creditable coverage from your prior insurance company. Most people don't know what that is and they don't see that they need it. And so they toss it out or they shred it. That document is really important for you to keep because now you're going to be signing up for Medicare, but you're 68. And so Medicare is saying, well, you should have signed up at 65. And you need to be able to present proof that you had other creditable coverage that gave you a valid reason to delay so that you don't end up with a penalty that you don't actually owe. And we see thousands of people every year that throw that letter out. So then they go and they sign up for Medicare Part D, their drug plan. And the first thing the Part D drug plan does is send them a letter in the mail saying, we need proof of your prior coverage so that we don't assess the late penalty for Part D. And you think, well, how do I prove that I have coverage? Well, you threw that letter away. And so most people don't know to keep that. So one tip I could give you is if you're over 65 and getting ready to retire, look every day in your mailbox for that and then put it somewhere safe so that you absolutely will know where to go and find it and present that proof when you need it. One other thing that I'd like to tell people is a lot of people who start learning about Medicare Advantage plans, they assume that if they enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan that they don't have to pay for Part B. So sometimes they'll cancel Part B after they join an Advantage plan, and then they're automatically disenrolled from their Advantage plan. So whether you choose a Medigap plan or a Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to be choosing one of those two routes that we covered. You have to keep both A and B. You must be enrolled in them. So there's no way of getting out of paying for Part B. You're going to pay for Part B whether you choose a Medigap plan or an Advantage plan. And so don't make the mistake of thinking that you can get out of paying for Part B if you enroll in an Advantage plan. You need both of those to be eligible for that coverage. So unless you qualify for Medicaid, which is insurance for people of low incomes, that's the only way that you would get any assistance with paying for Part B in most cases.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Is it me or is that 10% late penalty, which could be with you the rest of your life, isn't that a little punitive? I mean, isn't that a little extreme?
It really is. And you know, we often wonder, like, why would they do that? Because, you know, Medicare wasn't during that time when they weren't enrolled in Part B, you know, they were getting their coverage somewhere else, preferably, or maybe they just weren't using coverage. And so they didn't feel that they need it. So it is kind of punitive, but I think it's because the federal government knows that a lot of people out there don't know that they need that coverage. And so if they don't penalize them and scare them into taking the time to educate themselves about what Medicare is and what it covers, then they might not enroll. And so I think the penalty is there to prompt you to do your education up front and to make sure you know what you're buying and not skipping something that's really vital. They don't want to see you be in a position where you should have signed up for Part B and you didn't, and now you need a hip replacement and you've got to pay for 80% of the cost of that hip replacement because you never signed up for Part B. So that's probably why there's a punitive aspect to it.
Now, I understand that, you know, they want people to sign up, but it just seems like it's hurting seniors more than it's helping seniors. And, you know, instead of giving them the 10% penalty, they need to be a little more visible and promote it more so that people, you know, just like, I mean, maybe we should be learning this in elementary school or whatever, You know, it's like, I mean, I took wood shop and I took metal shop, but that really had no, I had no use for that. But, or home economics, I really needed and I never got. And I think, you know, we should start a little earlier, or at least, you know, in college or something.
Yes.
But it definitely, maybe I'm surprised AARP hasn't been involved in that. I need to check that out and see if they're, you know, what they're doing and trying to make that a little less punitive for our senior community in general.
Yeah, they're very involved. AARP has a lot of great information that they put out about Medicare prior to people turning 65. So that is another great resource to learn what you need to know.
Yeah. So Danielle, you've got a book coming out in September. Congratulations. You're an author.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my first book and we're very excited about it. So I appreciate that. It's going to educate people about the most common mistakes that people make when they're turning 65. And so if you have an opportunity to read it, you will avoid some of the scary things that we talked about today that maybe you otherwise wouldn't have known.
Yeah, that's going to be a valuable resource. I'm definitely going to be one of the first ones to go out and get it. So if people want to find out about the book or how they can get the book, what should they just go to your website or what's the process there?
Yeah. So our website, boomerbenefits.com, is a great place to do some reading and educating yourself about Medicare. There's several resources on there, a Medicare 101 webinar where you can attend a 1-hour course where I teach all of these things and it's free. We also have a 6-day Medicare email mini course that you can sign up for. So if you'd rather kind of do that learning in chunks, you could sign up for that. It's also a free resource to educate yourself. And we are working right now on our book website. So just in the next few weeks here, you should be able to find a section on the Boomer Benefits website where we'll also launch the book. So stay tuned. That information will be up here sometime in August. And then you can pick up the book on or before September 24th.
That is very cool. All right. And so if they go to, what is it, boomerbenefits.com?
Yes.
And they can look up in the navigation bar up top and there'll be something for book or resources or something
like
that.
Yeah, we're going to put a link up there for the book. And then also, a lot of your listeners may be on Facebook. You can follow our Facebook page. We have over 500,000 social media followers because we put out a lot of good information about Medicare, and we'll definitely be promoting the book on there. We might even have some days where we offer it at a significant discount to make it as affordable as possible for people. So that's a great place to stay tuned and watch for as well.
That is good to know. So yeah, so keep us informed about that. That is definitely going to be a go-to resource, no question about it.
Thanks.
Well, Danielle, this episode has really flown by. I mean, you really captivated us with that information, and I really mean that. It's exceptional information that we got about Medicare today. We're out of time, but we're definitely going to want to have you back so you can talk a little bit more about Medicare. So pencil me in on your calendar because I'm not going away.
Okay, would love to.
Yeah. Now, if anyone in our senior community wants to reach out to you, you know, can they actually reach out to you personally, or is it better just go to the website? How can they get in touch with you if they have some questions?
Yeah. So the best way is when you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a link there for a private Facebook group called Medicare Q&A with Boomer Benefits. You can request to join there. And in that Facebook group, you can send and post all of your Medicare questions. And I will come in there and personally answer them. In fact, every other Friday at noon, I come on live and I answer a whole bunch of questions that our group members have submitted. And so if you want to interact with me personally, that's a great way to do it. But you can also just call Boomer Benefits or go to our website and put your information in. And all of the agents that work for me in my office here in Fort Worth have been personally trained by me. They're phenomenally smart people that know everything about Medicare. So no matter who you work with at our agency, we will take great care of you. And if you want to work with me personally and be able to get your questions answered specifically by me, come on over to the Facebook group and I'd love to interact with you.
And you have people from all over the country, so it's not like they have to be in Dallas, Fort Worth in order to get, you know, to get access.
Yeah,
to all
that's
this,
right.
All this
we're
stuff.
In 48 states. So we don't currently do business in New York or Massachusetts, but everywhere else we are licensed. And even if you live in one of those two states, you could reach out to me on Facebook and I could refer you to a great agent in your area that could help you in one of those states.
That is awesome. All right. So we know, I think you gave out your Facebook URL. What other social media platforms are you on in case someone wants to find you on there?
So we are on YouTube, Instagram, and even Pinterest. YouTube is probably the next most important one in terms of education because I have over 60 videos uploaded in there. And I try to keep my videos relatively short so that maybe you already know what A, B, C, and D are, but you don't know whether you should sign up for Medicare and you're still employed. Well, you can find a video on there about Medicare and employer coverage, and it will cover that in just a few minutes. So you can kind of pick the pieces that you need to learn. And that's a great way to do some of your, you know, pre-65 education as well.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's great. Danielle, thanks for taking out some time for us today. I know you've got a really busy schedule. We're very grateful. We are going to hold you to coming back and you're going to become the Injured Senior Podcast Medicare expert. So you've been okay. Designated as our expert. So, you know, that and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee.
Awesome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's no problem. That's it for today, Injured Senior Community. If you have any legal questions about an injury, disease, or condition you sustained due to negligence, please feel free to email me at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. Also, if you'd like to audition to be a guest on the Injured Senior Podcast, including telling your story as an injured senior or as a loved one of an injured senior, again, email me at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. Injured Senior Community, if you liked the content we discussed today, and we discussed some incredible content from Danielle Roberts, please head on over to the show notes where you'll find a summary of today's show and very important links that we mentioned in this episode. Also, feel free to reach out to me, like I said, about your own story, or if you have any legal questions at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. Also, please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And while you're there, go ahead and rate and review us because we could use it. Again, thanks for listening to today's show. Be sure to tune into next week's show, and we will talk to you next week. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Injured Senior Podcast with Steve H. Heisler. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate, subscribe, review, and share on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more or to get help anytime, go to InjuredSeniorHotline.com or call 855-622-6530. We'll see you next time.